Take your Bibles this morning, and I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. I hope everyone has a Bible to look on this morning. We're gonna look at a testimony that I trust will help all of us here today. We're living in difficult times, and we know that He's always there, and I trust that God will certainly remind us of that here this morning from the preaching of the Word of God. The book of Acts, chapter number 20, and appreciate you standing as I read several verses, and we're going to stay right here for the message today. The book of Acts, chapter number 20, beginning in verse number 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Our Father, we thank you so much for the wonderful music we've heard today. Thank you that music stirs our hearts, it brings us to a point of worship, and help us to be able to focus on the teaching and preaching of God's holy word. I pray, dear God, that you would bless our time together. Thank you for every man, woman, and young person that's here today and those who are watching online. God, we need you to do something in our hearts. We're certainly living in difficult times. We need to be reminded that our God is always there. I pray that you take me as your servant. I pray that you would first of all cleanse me of any sin. Then empty me of self. I need you to fill me with your Spirit. Bless the pastor as he's away, as he's preaching today. I pray you'll use him as you always do, and we'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm sure that many, if not most of you, would agree with me, if you know anything about the Bible, that we find the Apostle Paul being one of the greatest, if not the greatest, example of a Christian you'll find in the Bible. He is certainly a great example for all of us to learn from. In the text that I just read, in the context that we're reading here, the Apostle Paul has spent 3 years in the city of Ephesus. A great church had been established. Now the Apostle Paul is about to move on, and he wants to go to Jerusalem. The saints there in Ephesus were concerned about what might happen to him in Jerusalem. So he calls them together. And he says, "I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of what happened those 3 years when I was with you there in Ephesus. So he calls them together, and of course, they are concerned about what's going on. Look at verse number 22, if you would. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Say the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, you're concerned about what's going to happen. Well, the Holy Spirit's already told me that there are going to be bonds and afflictions. So you're concerned about what's going to happen to me. Let me tell you where I am in this matter. He said in verse number 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Notice this, for that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul says, God's already told me that there's some things that's going to go on that bring about affliction and bonds. You're concerned about what's going to happen. But let me remind you, I had problems in Ephesus. I had afflictions in Ephesus. There were things going on in Ephesus. If you remember, no matter what came my way, all the afflictions, all the attacks, all the criticism, I had a ministry that was given to me by God, and none of those things moved me off course. I realized from the time that he saved my soul that he put me on a course. He wanted me to serve. And I let absolutely nothing deter me or get me off course. Paul says, I want to remind you of something. And I want you to make sure you get this. Here's how I live my life. First of all, when I start serving God, I make a personal determination that I'm going to serve him. As I serve him, there's something else that happened. I am purpose driven. And then he says, I go beyond that. I am principle decided. Now let's stop for a moment and think about that. Paul serving God. He's got a ministry. He got saved by the same grace all of us got saved by. God put me on a course. I personally determined I'm going to stay on course. As I was serving God, I became purpose driven. I was driven to keep going by the purpose for which God had saved me and called me. Then as I went along, personally determined, personally driven, or purpose driven, I made decisions based upon principles. Now, if you're personally determined, purpose-driven, and principle-decided, you can stay on course. We're living in difficult times. Oftentimes, I see on a regular, almost daily basis now, we find ourselves as Christian people being deterred from our purpose. We find unexpected things happening all the time in the Christian life. I've never been so surprised by things that I have seen. This world is in a mess. But I want to remind us of something. It doesn't shock God. And it should not shock God's people. I've got to make up my mind that when God saved me, he put me on a course. And I'm going to run that race. I'm going to stay on that course. I'm going to face everything that comes my way. And I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I want to get to the point in my life where no matter what shows up, family, friends, finances, sickness, I don't care what it is, none of these things move me. Now, I know what you're saying. Pastor, There you go again, and all other preachers trying to get us to be like Paul. Let me help you out something. There's only one Apostle Paul. There's only one Moses. There's only one David. There's certainly only one Job. Most of us are kind of glad about Job. I don't find anybody saying, God, help me to be just like Job. Help me to lose everything Job. All right, so these men in the Bible, we can go on. One Paul. I mean, one Peter. One John, one Moses, I mean one David, one Solomon. So God is not saying, I want you to be a Solomon, I want you to be a Paul, I want you to be a David. But he is saying, when I save you, I put you on a course. And I want you to be personally determined to stay on that course. I want you to realize why I saved you. Find that purpose. And when all the afflictions show up and the difficult times, be a purpose driven to keep going. When you find yourself faced with decisions to make, be principle decided. I'm a firm believer that we ought to live by principle. We're not to live by feelings, not to live by opinions. We are to live by principle. So when Paul calls the elders together, he said, I want to give you something that's going to take away your fears. I want you to understand, you watched me for 3 years serve in a certain way, and you can testify that no matter what came my way, none of these things moved me in Ephesus, and whatever I face in Jerusalem, guess what? They're not going to move me either. Now, we can't be Paul. We can't be the heroes in the Bible. And God doesn't expect us to be, but he expects every one of us to be personally determined, purpose-driven. Principle decided, because we're on a course to serve and finish it with joy. So I want to take this testimony of Paul to the Ephesian elders, and I want you to see some principles that kept him on course and see if just maybe I can't be like Paul. I can't be like the heroes of the Bible, but I certainly can have the principles that they had to help me stay on my course. We've got a course to follow, and it's going to get tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher and tougher. Would to God he'd raise up some men, raise up some preachers, raise up some women, raise up some young people that will simply say, I'm going to finish my course with joy, and none of these things that I face in life are going to move me. Let's look very quickly at what he told the Ephesian elders and what the Holy Spirit of God is telling us today if we're going to stay on course. People are getting off course on a daily basis. I'm talking about Bible-believing, fundamental, independent, Baptist, Christian people are being deterred by every imaginable thing we can think of in this crazy world. May God help us to not let these things move us off course. Now, very quickly, let's look at why this great Christian stayed on course no matter what came his way, and why I believe if we put these principles in our life, how we can finish the course that God put us on when he saved us with joy in serving him. I want you to notice, first of all, as he's talking to the elders, notice what he says at verse number 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, notice this, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. He said, here's where I stayed on the course. I can turn to you. And those 3 years that I preached and taught and prayed and led, there's something you knew about me. I had certain habits as a servant of God that you could see and testify that I was determined to stay on course. Two things. He said, ye know. Ye know what? Ye know that I am truly a servant of God, and you can testify that because what I did was convincing. It convinced you. When was the last time on your job, with your family, in your community, you did something that was supposed to be of God that convinced somebody else it was from God? He said, I had certain habits. Whatever I did, I took notice that people were watching me and they were convinced, and I was consistent, and that was just the way I served. I still believe God wants everybody here today to have habits that are convincing and consistent. I'm drinking a lot of water because I got a sinus issue. My mouth dries up, so bear with me here. I normally don't use water. But of course, I haven't preached so long that I don't know what I use. I may have to go and get some of this Chick-fil-A lemonade the pastor has. I don't know. But he says, here's why I stayed on course. I had certain habits, and I had them for 3 long years, and ye know they were convincing, and you saw they were consistent. Now, you don't have to be a Paul to be convincing and to be consistent. If I'm going to stay on course, whatever I do for God, I've got to make sure it convinced people that I am following God, and it got to be consistent that they see it all the time. Paul said, from the first time I came into Asia, ye know the kind of man of God I was. And I was consistent the whole 3 years. God help us to be servants that will have habits that will convince people and be consistent that they can say, that's truly a man of God. That's truly a Christian. That's truly a good church member who is consistent and convincing. In other words, Paul practiced what he preached. May God help us to let none of these things move us from being consistent and convincing to other people who are watching us. So first of all, he had habits as a servant that were convincing and consistent. He had them in all seasons, and others knew that. Verse 19, here's something else I want you to notice. He said, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which fell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. None of these things moved me, he said. The people who listened to me, watched me, noticed me, saw that I was consistent. It convinced them. And the second thing we notice about him, he had a humble spirit. He had a humble spirit. He said, I had a humble spirit when there were tears of sorrow. I had a humble spirit when there were trials of suffering. Nothing deterred me. I was simply what I've always been for Almighty God, a man with a humble spirit. May God help us today to keep that spirit. We're going to have sorrow. We're going to have trials. But none of those things ought to move us from carrying out the purpose for which God saved us and called us. He had habits as a servant that were convincing and consistent. He had a humble spirit, even when there were tears of sorrow, even when there were trials of suffering. Verse number 20, he goes on. And now, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things moved me. Why, Paul? When I was in Ephesus, I had habits that I performed all the time that were consistent and convincing. I functioned with a humble spirit. When there was sorrow of tears, there were trials that I suffered. None of those things moved me. But I'll tell you something else that kept me on course. I had a heart for souls. I cared about people. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, publicly and privately. One of the callings of God in my life was to reach people. And Paul said, every day of my life, I had a heart for souls. I told people what was important. Repentance toward God and faith in Almighty God. Paul said, I never hesitated to tell people they needed the Savior that I have. Oh, we're living in difficult times today where we don't do all the things that we should do. We can't knock on doors the way we used to. We can't just go up and talk to people the way we used to. But let me tell you something. There ought to be something in our hearts that every time we see a person or think about a lost person, it ought to move us not to hold back what is most important to them, and that is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is still what is needed today to keep people out of hell. Paul said, you knew that. You saw that in my life. Every day you could see my heart bleed, and they are knocked on doors and told people, Jesus is the answer. It kept me on course. We're living in a day today where we're losing sight because of all that we're going through. People still need the Lord. May God help us. I mean, any person who is saved today has an obligation to tell people that Jesus is the answer. Paul said, I never lost that. I didn't lose it when the trials came. I didn't lose it when the temptation came. I didn't lose it when the criticism came. Every day of my life, I had a heart for souls to tell people that Jesus is the answer. And by the way, that ought to be the heartfelt thing that we have today as every child of God. God has put us on a course, and that course includes sharing our life with people and winning the loss to Jesus Christ. And the answer still today is repentance of our sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder he stayed on course. We've come to the point today where every day you hear about people dying and wars going on. I wonder how often it ever stirs those of us who know the truth that every time somebody dies without Jesus Christ, they end up in a place called hell. Oh, may God help us to have a heart for souls. Every time we walk out the door, every time we walk into a store, every time we ride on a bus or get on a plane, may God help us to have a heart like Paul for the souls of mankind. He said, none of these things move me. I never lost that purpose for which God saved me from. He was humble. as a servant, he was convincing. He was consistent. You could see in his life that he had a heart for souls because he never hesitated to tell people. But something else that he had that kept him on course. And by the way, we have it too. He said in verse 22, and now, behold. You see, behold, he says, take real notice of what I'm about to say. He's talking to the Ephesian elders, telling them how he served as a servant there in Ephesus those 3 years. Behold, he said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide. Now, Paul says, in Ephesus, I had habits as a servant that were convincing and consistent. I functioned with a humble spirit. There were tears. There were trials that came my way. But I mean, humble with compassion in spite of those conflicts. He went on to say, I had a heart for souls. I wanted to tell everybody about Jesus, and I wanted to invest my life in them. But here's something else that kept me on track. I had the Holy Spirit. Let me pause for a second. Paul was a great, great servant who had the Holy Spirit. But he didn't have any more Holy Spirit than the sinner who gets saved here today. All of us, that's the earnest of our eternal glory, is the Holy Spirit God gives us. So Paul said, you weren't. When I got saved, I received the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he has all of me, Paul said. He's already told me about things that's going to happen in Jerusalem. So he says, I'm going to stay on course. None of these things move me because I have God living in me. And he said, here's some things he's done for me. First of all, he says in verse 22, he said, and now behold. He's already convinced me that everything's going to be all right in Jerusalem. I didn't have to get that from the elders. You're already worried about it. God has already convinced me by his Spirit what's going to happen. He went on to say, because I have the Holy Spirit, he says, I go bound in the Spirit. There are already some convictions in my heart that I need to go there. He went on to say, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. I've already been comforted. Now let me say something. In the trials and things that we face, because God lives in us, he ought to compel us to keep going. He ought to convict us of some things, and he certainly ought to comfort us no matter what we face in life. Paul says, none of these things move me. How can I be moved off course when God the Holy Spirit compels me, convicts me, and comfort me that everything's going to be all right? None of these things move me. By the way, I think we forget sometimes that the same Holy Spirit that moved Paul ought to move us. It ought to be when something pops up in the life, ought to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, it's going to be all right. It ought to be when I have to make a choice or make a decision, I ought to have some conviction in my heart from the Holy Spirit. It ought to be that I have to go someplace and do something, I ought to be compelled to get it done because the Holy Spirit lives in me. Paul says, none of these things move me. Why, Paul? I've just got habits that I perform that you all saw that were consistent and convincing. He said, you saw the spirit I had. When trials came, the compassion, even when there were conflicting things happened, You saw my heart of sharing my life with people and winning souls to Jesus Christ. But God, the Holy Spirit convicts me, compels me, and comforts me, and none of these things are going to move me. None of these things. Now let's think about what he's saying here. He's a humble servant. He's got habits that are convicting. He's got habits that are convincing and consistent. He's got a heart for souls that people can see. The Holy Spirit lives in him, convinces him, compels him, convicts him, and comforts him. So Paul said, I got those four things going. So the fifth thing happened to me in verse 24. None of these things move me. You know what I'm saying? I got my head on straight. If I'm a humble servant, if my habits are convincing, my habits are consistent, if I have a heart for souls, and I share my life with people, and I'm winning people to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in me. He convinces me. He compels me. He convicts me. And he certainly comforts me. You know what that tells me? None of these things move me. It brings me to a point in life where I got my head on straight. And notice what he went on and said. He said in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Why, Paul? Neither count I my life dear to me. You know what I've learned to do, he said? I've learned to deny self. It's not all about me. It's all about what I want. I've learned to deny self while I'm on this road to carrying out the ministry that he's given me. He goes on and says, I've learned to be devoted to my Savior and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus. He's the one who saved me on the Damascus Trail. He's the one that put me in this race. He's the one that's given me this purpose. And I've learned to deny self, to be devoted to my Savior. And then he says, to testify the gospel of grace of God. I've learned that I've got a duty to sinners to keep going for the glory of God. Now, Paul is the greatest Christian, I believe, in all the Bible. We can't be a Paul. There's only one Paul. But every saved person is on a course. And this is an attitude that every person ought to have when it comes to serving Almighty God. I want to finish my course with joy. And God, I need to ask myself, are my habits in the time in which I live convincing and consistent? Are they there? When I face my trial, do I have a humble spirit even when there are tears of sorrow and trials of suffering? As I go about my day, can I honestly say, I live this life to share my life with other people, and I'm concerned about every lost soul coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I experience the Holy Spirit in my life. He convinces me of what to do, convicts me of what I should do, compels me what I ought to do, and comfort me every time something comes my way. Therefore, I've got my head on straight. I'm going to finish my course. None of these things are going to move me because I've learned to deny self, be devoted to my Savior, and I've got a duty to lost sinners. Paul, you reached that point in your life where you got your head on straight? You're about to go to Jerusalem. We won't see you again. Terrible things may happen. But you've done all of that. And then he finishes up in verses 25 through 27. He says, and now, here's that phrase again. Behold, listen to what I'm about to say. I'm talking about this servant who was convincing and consistent. I'm talking about this humble spirit. I'm talking about the man with the heart for souls. I'm talking about one where the Holy Spirit convicts, compels, and comfort. I'm talking about a servant who has his head on straight, who's learned to deny self, be devoted to the Savior, and a duty to sinners to stay on course. Now I'm leaving. So I want to leave you with this thought, he says. I got a happy spirit. I can sleep at night. I can rest. Because all he's saying in verses 25 through 27, I have done my best for Almighty God. Therefore, I'm happy in my spirit. I want you to think about today. Look back on your service since the time that you got saved and ask yourself this question. How convincing it is. How consistent it is. I'm not talking about what you think. I'm talking about others who noticed you. The ones that you tell that you're a Christian. The ones that you tell that you're a member of a good church. The one that you talk to on your work. How convincing of those people, and how consistent you are that they can say, that's a child of God. How humble is your spirit? Do you still have that humble spirit when things don't go your way? There are going to be tears of sorrow, and there are going to be trials of suffering in this life. But Paul said, none of those things moved me. I never lost the heart I had for sinners. I wanted people saved. I shared my life to get them to know they need repentance. They need faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I never stopped shining that. I wanted people to know that. And he says, you know what? I have in my heart what God's given me that compels me to keep going. I'm convicted when I slow down, and when things come my way, he says, I'm comforted by Almighty God. And he says, I just want to leave you with this thought. I have a happy spirit because I have done my best for Almighty God. And you know what? He says, I sleep well, I feel well, because I'm going to finish my course with joy. Now, I know that Paul was a great Christian. And I know there is no Christian in this building that we can say, you are Paul. Okay, there's one Paul, and there are many characters in the Bible. But Paul had this kind of an attitude in his day that we need in our day. We're living in difficult times, and Paul says, I am personally determined. I'm going to finish my course with joy. None of these things are going to move me. I am purpose driven. I've got a purpose in life. God saved me and left me here for a purpose. I'm driven by that purpose to finish my course with joy. And along the way, I'm going to have to make some decisions. And those decisions are not going to be based upon how I feel. They're not going to be based upon what others think. Those decisions are going to be based upon the principle of the Word of God. And I'm going to be a servant with habits that are convincing and habits that are consistent, a heart for souls, a humble spirit. I'm going to be Holy Spirit led, keep my head on straight, deny self, devoted to the Savior, and a duty to sinners. And I want every day of my life, when it's all said and done, I have a happy spirit because I can say I've done my best. Stay on course. And I can say without a doubt, none of these things. Finances won't move me. Illness won't move me. Friendships won't move me. I'm going to stay on course and finish my course with joy. And none of these things shall move me. Let's bow our heads in prayer.